Hello, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode of NYPD Blue Balls, so that means we are watching Season 7, Episode 10, Who Murders Sleep of NYPD Blue, while recording Season 7, Episode 10 of NYPD Blue Balls. So it might be a good idea to follow along with us by watching the episode, but hey, I can't control your life. We are currently watching the episodes on Hulu, which has every episode of NYPD Blue streaming. I've heard that it is back on Amazon Prime, but I don't trust it. At one point, I purchased episodes because they have unedited, full extended versions of episodes, but then when I went back, it suddenly was missing. So I don't really know if Amazon has them or not. You can get the DVDs of NYPD Blue, but from what I understand, it's a little harder if you're outside the U.S. And then there's another way, which I would never, ever suggest, because Sipowicz would never be cool with it. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you at the end. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 7, Episode 10, Who Murders Sleep? Without a question mark, so it's just telling us who murders sleep.
Have you ever seen, there's like that, I'll tell you later, sorry, I didn't know, I forgot it hops right in.
I mean, there's not much to talk about, it's really just Danny.
Did she just fake sleep?
Yeah, she did, because she's an actress, Kyle.
Yeah.
Acting?
I wish the director would have told her she was acting now.
Well, so this is Danny having, like, an anxiety attack after a fucked up dream. Where he's, like, praying? I guess he's praying?
Like, I guess. I mean, he's on his knees.
Asking to take this off of him. So is she naked? Or is she, like... I always was wondering, because they do a full silhouette on her. I was like, is she just standing there naked outside of his bathroom?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think she was just laying naked in his bed and got off to listen. So, Kirk, I think we found a way to make tragedy sexy.
All it took was the award-winning drama NYPD Blue.
This isn't even one of the good years, you know?
Well, NYPD Blue was always trying to find ways to get side boob into scenes, and they're like, what if she's just naked outside of his door?
I think it's really weird, and then he runs out.
Well, this is the one time I was like, I think Ricky Schroeder had one good day of acting, and it was this, where he actually made his voice seem like agitated and high and like on high alert, which could happen when you're having an anxiety attack or like a breakdown where you're just like, I can't get it together. I can't think straight. I can't speak clearly. So I was like, I feel like this is the one scene where I was like, good job, Ricky Schroeder. Good on ya.
Do you think she's being selfish? Like, why is she crying?
Well, I think she's crying because she wishes she could help, but she doesn't know what's wrong, and she can't, and he won't open up to her anyway. Anyway, we're at the credits. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, go through every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is Season 7, Episode 10, Who Murders Sleep, like I mentioned previously.
The only thing I see is you got two people being bitches.
I mean, no offense to Mary, but they're really not giving her much to do. And it's like, they're like, okay, we want to play up this angle that Sorensen has some real mental health issues. He's finding it hard to deal with the trauma of his past. He's like, oh, what is his girlfriend doing? Crying.
Being a real weirdo and like sneaking around his apartment and shit
and being naked,
like,
so
doing a lot of sus stuff.
So here's Sipowicz coming to the scene of a DOA where a guy wants to take photos. I found the skeleton. I should be able to take pictures.
And possession is what, like, two-thirds of the law?
His
logic is solid.
I mean, the point is he should have enough decency to not want to take photos of a child skeleton.
He doesn't know it's a child.
Kyle, you know it's a child. It's the size of a child.
I'm sorry, but if you were breaking a wall open and the first thing you saw was a skeleton head and you called the police, you're not going to sit there and examine the body, Kirk. You're going to run out of there, call the cops, and be like, oh, there's a skeleton and this wall.
And buy a
camera.
You're
not going to know if it's a kid or not. Fuck out of here.
And buy a camera.
You just hanging around skeletons? You're cool with it?
And buy a camera. The point is, the guy is upset that he can't take a photo of a dead child. So, fuck the guy.
Hey, this is New York, bro. We let everyone try to make their money. Like, all right?
Then play the numbers. Don't take pictures of dead kids.
Oh, man. So many people fucking play the numbers out here. It's crazy.
They love them numbers.
Yeah.
So here we got a dead.
How many times at work people will walk up to me like, what's your birthday? And I'll tell them like the year and they'll be like, I'll play that number later.
Yeah. They want to get lucky. So here we got a dead, I think, crack user. I think they mentioned that he had drugs on him. And the bullet went through him and hit the snout of a dog.
Oh, I am so glad we are doing this this episode. So I will just let you know right now, if I was writing a book called Why Detective Metaboy is a Bitch, this would be the biggest chapter of my book. This would be probably the whole, it would take up most of the dissertation, because there's at least two or three things that I could write on hours about why he's a douchebag and sucks.
One,
this whole thing.
One, I believe, will be the way he reacts to his allergy for dogs.
The way he just reacts to dogs, period. It's not that he hates long hairs because he's allergic. He doesn't like dogs, period. He talks all this shit, like, and then the dog's hurt, and he just, nah, fuck him, dude.
Yeah, he has zero care about the dog. They found a guy with the gun down the block, so they're taking him to the house. But he's like, oh, it's a long-haired breed. I'm allergic. And then there's some confusion because the EMS guy is like, I'm not taking a dog in an ambulance, even though the old woman's like, put him in an ambulance. And
no, yeah, for that she's wrong. For that, that's craziness. Like,
but what's funny is the EMS guy is like, fine, I'll put him in one of your guys' cars. And then Metaboy's like, oh, I bet you can't administer some Benadryl. And the guy goes, no. He's like, I bet he would do it if you weren't a dick.
Yeah, or if you weren't being a little bitch about it. And I'm sorry, you're outside. How are your allergies acting up from the hair?
Yeah, it seemed to have happened pretty...
Space, you didn't get anywhere near that dog. How are your allergies acting up?
Also,
you must have the wimpiest allergies in the world.
And you know, I've always said that I think you come down a little too hard on Metaboy, just a bit. But it is true that because he has to deal with this dog for 5 minutes and the witness for the entire day, he is a dick to everybody. It's like how Sipowicz becomes a dick to everybody if his life is minorly inconvenienced. But Metaboy is doing it.
I was gonna say it's like when Sipowicz becomes a dick when he has to deal with black people. Am I wrong?
Not, Kyle, you are, because it's not just black people. It's every other race besides white. But he literally, and that's not true. Sipowicz has decent interactions with people of different races occasionally. But the point is...
Yeah, when they're in handcuffs.
But the point is, Metaboy is like, he's trying to go hard-ass on this guy, only because he's like, I had to deal with a dog today. Fuck everything.
I the best part is you can kind of feel that this guy, even though Metal Boy's being a hard ass, this guy's still getting over on him. Like, Metal Boy's being a hard ass, but this guy, I feel like when you watch this guy, he can kind of tell, like, nah, this guy ain't gonna do nothing.
Yeah, we won't reveal exactly how the guy, but the guy had the gun on him. He's like, it's not my fanny pack, it's not my gun. I got nothing to do with this. And there was one moment where he's like, the uniform officer said you were walking or running in a suspicious manner. And I was like, and that's a reason to pick somebody up? Like, what's suspicious?
Never mind. I'm going to stop. But yeah, that is weird.
So Metavoy is upset that the woman doesn't want to operate on her dog because the dog has a 50% chance of dying. And Metavoy is incensed that she won't possibly murder her dog for a murder investigation.
Just give Metavoy like 10 years. And when he's old and alone and has no friends and no one that loves him, and he only has an animal, and they tell him that his animal may have a 50% chance of dying, then we'll see how quick he wants to put that animal underneath and surgery and shit.
But like this room has 5 people in it, and they're all looking at Metavoy go, I'm going to get a judge to force this woman to put her dog in danger to get this bullet. And Metavoy is like, sorry that I don't care about dogs because I'm allergic to them. By the way, I got a judge in my pocket. A judge who has been bitten by a Rottweiler. And the rest of them are like, we don't care. Go murder a dog because you're a dick. I don't care.
But like, I just, like, this is just the weirdest hill to die on.
Well, we're dog people. We've owned dogs. We like dogs. So I immediately if a person's, like, anti-dog, we're immediately kind of like, oh, well, fuck you. Okay. But Metavoy being who he is on top of that just kind of makes him even more, like, unbelievable. Here's Sipowicz completely covering for Sorensen, who showed up late, by giving him all the information before they run it for Fancy.
But didn't he get up mad early?
He got up mad early, but he walked to Central Park and sat by a lake and didn't realize his beeper was dead. And didn't know what time it was. So he then just kind of like popped up and had to run back.
Well, he's going through an episode and, you know, he could have, you know, time could have just slipped away, you know?
It happens. I don't blame him. And luckily, because, you know, cops cover each other, he just didn't come into work.
Yeah, you just don't have to do your job.
And then you just get covered by your partner. They find out who the girl was in the wall, and that it was a missing persons case from like 9 years ago with a detective from Hoboken named Detective Hoffman, who we're about to meet. Do you recognize this guy? It's almost like I'm saying you have to recognize him. You don't. I don't,
but I feel like he was in something recently I just saw that wasn't this.
Well, his name is Jack Wallace. Jack Wallace. I could have swore the same thing. Like, he has one of those faces you're like, I've 100% seen you in some shit. Well, he's been in a little bit of everything, but I did want to highlight from his known fours, he was in the original 1974 Death Wish. And he was in the How Did This Get Made classic Boy Next Door about Jennifer Lopez having sex with a child.
I definitely did not watch Boy Next Door.
Yeah, he's just one of those character actors who's been in a ton of shit, but I feel like his face is like perfect for old guy.
I feel like he was in an episode of like, there we go.
Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec.
Yep.
That's where I know him from. I was going to say he was either Parks and Rec or The Office, where he played like an older man character that like came in randomly. Yeah, it's definitely Parks and Rec, for sure.
Well, currently he's playing Detective Hoffman, who is the guy that was on the missing girl case for their DOA. And, well, you know, it seems like he might have a little dementia.
Just a little.
You know, just a touch of the dementia. And,
touch of the D.
And these detectives are trying to move him along to get his information out of those boxes.
This is being really caring about the whole thing. You know.
Well, Sipowicz is like, look, I think Sipowicz is because he feels bad about the guy's situation, but he doesn't want to live in it anymore. He just wants the information and to go.
And, no, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, like, Sipowicz is a detective, right? Like, detect the situation and what's going on, like. You telling him that you're going to take his shit that isn't working out, so why do you keep kind of being a dick about it, you know?
Yeah, and you should detect that you need to have some peanut brittle.
He looks so pissed. He is so pissed that he has to deal with this man. It is funny.
Well, he's also, like, yeah, it's also feeding into, like, his worry about him, where he's like, oh, this guy's, it's so sad, retired cop, he's got dementia.
Worry? You think he worries about him, Kurt?
Well, he's not, like, there's some concern for the man. It's not just anger. It's an anger mixed with concern. But yeah, they're obviously frustrated. I think anybody would be with this situation. Because he won't, like, let go of the fucking boxes.
Yeah, but
it's his unsolved case.
Yeah.
It's his Bucci case. To relate it to Sipowicz.
Oh my god, if I have to hear that word Bucci one more time.
Hey, did you hear about Jared Leto's really bad performance in The House of Bucci? Got it. Well, what's, like, you could tell Sipowicz is, like, feels bad for him because he says half senile and living by himself. And kind of looks down at the ground. But I also love this line where he's like, coffee? And he's like, yeah, I'll just take my usual. And it's like, I don't fucking know you, dude. He also, this old dude
yeah,
has
they
those...
don't, but he's losing his mind, Kirk.
This old dude also has those perfect old man bushy eyebrows.
He does. His eyebrows are on point.
Like, his eyebrows are... You can get lost in those eyebrows. They're like a forest. It looks like he's wearing those eyebrow glasses on his face. And
they're thick, dude.
And he got that stash.
He got some thick boy eyebrows right there.
It'd also just be funny, I mean, because a lot of this is just him, like, fumbling through his paperwork when they're like, look, we want to go through your paperwork and compare it to what we know about the building. And he's like, sure, just ask me any questions. They're like, great, can we get the shit? And then he just sits there and stares at him. And it's like, ugh, this...
He ain't letting them touch it. You're gonna have to find a different way.
We got a pissed off Metavoy. He's coming in hot.
I love when Fancy has the face of, oh man, I gotta deal with a bitch right now.
And basically the woman is they couldn't get the judge to force her to have the procedure.
And, yeah, because that's fucked up.
And then Fancy was like, hey, maybe you should deal with your dude in the pokey. And he's like, oh yeah, my job, okay. But they, I guess he agrees, like, the woman agrees to do a lineup, even though she has said that she didn't really get a good look at him. Mm. So it's like, well, what are you, what, how is that lineup going to work?
Well, as long as she doesn't say those words in the lineup, you know, they got a shot at her going, hey, that's not the guy. Or, hey, that's the guy.
And then Medavoy, even though, you know, we've been talking about his bitchitude, he does kind of turn it around on this guy by being like, just stand in the lineup. It's informal. The woman's going to pick you out. She described you to a T. And the guy's like, oh, sweet. That's perfect. It'll get me out of here and back on the street. Great. Let's do it. Even though Medavoy is like beyond lying out his ass. He's going so hard that I feel like the guy should be able to tell it's sarcastic.
Yeah, like he's putting too much on. Like maybe it's because as the viewers we know, like who Medavoy is and what he acts like, so we know he's putting it on. But maybe this guy doesn't, you know.
Also,
I don't know. It was weird.
Did you notice in this scene that Hoffman, like, quickly threw on his glasses when Fancy came in, as if, like, he's actually working on this shit?
Oh, I did not. That's interesting.
It's like, why? Like, what is he worried about? He's not his boss. Well, he has dementia, but it's like... And then he, like, confesses to him straight up, like, like, preacher style. Where he's like, I tried to live a good life. I just can't get it together anymore. And it's like, well, do you think that dude is God?
I don't think he knows who that dude is. That's the problem, is like...
That's a bowl, like, that's a bowl of peanut brittle to him. I wish they
that's
could...
That's the problem, is that they should have just kept feeding this motherfucker peanut brittle, and then they would have been able to do their thing no problem. Like, he would have gotten all antsy, he would have gotten all like, ah, my papers! And you could have just been, like, shaking a bowl of peanut brittle, and I think you would have been good.
Shake a bowl of peanut brittle, like he's a dog? Peanut brittle?
Yeah,
we
dude.
Got the peanut brittle.
What's the difference between that man with dementia and a dog?
Well, a lot of things. Still a human being, and still worth some modicum of respect and dignity.
A human being with dementia, do they?
Kyle, could you not say potentially ableist things on a podcast that people could hear? Holy shit.
I'm not saying that they're not, that they don't deserve to be treated like well-fed, given a place to live, a bowl of water, but...
A bowl of water?
Yeah, like a dog.
Okay, but if we're gonna turn into the skid, fuck this old woman. This old woman's a bitch.
Why?
To everyone.
No, dude, she doesn't have time for this shit. Her dog's been shot. She's got a lot going on.
She has nothing else going on except the dog. She has nothing except the dog.
This is getting in her way.
This woman literally looks like the villain of a horror movie. Like, that woman is horrible. I don't like her. And Medavoy poisons the well by being like, well, it'd be easier if we didn't have to worry about Jerry's fucking nose. And she's like, we're not talking about it. And it's like, yeah, agitate her, please.
But see, the thing is like, Medavoy, like, this is all caked in Medavoy's fucking, like, personal feelings about dogs.
Oh, that's all
that is. Like, I like this part.
When Jones pretends to be related to the DOA.
Does the guy not notice that Jones is like dressed in like a really nice suit?
Nope. That's something I thought too. Like, I was like, why would he be in a suit?
This dude was just brought in for running around in the streets, right? And then they're like, oh, this guy saw you do it. And he's dressed in like the fan, in like the super nice suit. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, it, like, because this scene is convincing the balding guy, what's his name? Calvin? Yeah, Calvin, who is played by Eric Saya, who I did not recognize in anything, but I went to his IMDb just because. His known fours, and this is crazy, his known fours are Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He had a character...
What was he in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
He had a character with a name.
Wow.
A Shermerite? Shermerite? Maybe it's a last name name?
I don't know Ferris Bueller that well.
But he was also in another classic film, 1998's Godzilla, also starring Matthew Broderick.
Mm.
He was in another great film, Steel, starring Shaquille O'Neal. But he was also in Groundhog's Day.
Never seen Groundhog's Day.
What's up?
Never seen Groundhog's Day.
It's a good movie. You should check it out. I think it's...
Controversial statement. Controversial statement.
Mm-hmm.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Not that good.
You know, I know people that would be upset by that, but I think it's up to people's opinions about that movie. I kind of dig it, but I also don't think it's the greatest thing ever.
Unpopular opinion. John Hughes. Not that good of a director-writer.
Well, you're allowed to be fucking wrong. That's fine. But...
I guess.
So this dude basically tells Medavoy that he was the bag man. He just held his brother's gun and fanny pack. But if that's the case, why does this dude think that, okay, my brother gave me a gun and a bag saying that he shot a crackhead. Why would he think for a second? It's like, I bet that crackhead was standing next to his half brother on that street wearing a suit.
Yeah. No, I mean, I brought up the suit.
Yeah.
But
like it
the other thing is like, that dude's not thinking about any of that. That dude's just thinking like, oh man, I might be going to jail now. So he's probably not putting it all together, you know?
Or he's really thinking that dude's going to beat my ass.
Yeah, that too.
He
could only be thinking about getting his ass kicked right now.
So, Sipowicz and Sorensen come back with, this construction guy, I guess a contractor, who owns a part of the building the body was in, but also did work for the family of the girl that's missing. Or that was missing.
But the guy's missing, the old man.
Yeah, the old man, I guess, got up and walked away and nobody noticed or stopped him.
Did Sipowicz tell anybody, like, hey, watch this old man? As much as they know, like, if Sipowicz just got up and left and didn't say anything to anybody working there, like, they always do, like, hey, watch this, or hey, can you keep an eye on him? Like,
oh, yeah.
That's not Sipowicz.
We have moments where they tell somebody, hey, to keep an eye on this guy. Like, they didn't do that with him. They just said, hey, do you want to chill out here at the station? The guy said, sure, so then they left him.
And then this guy.
Well, the thing that makes we didn't say it during the scene, but when they tell Fancy, like, yeah, could you put out a search for him? They said, let the uniform officers know that he's not all there and he's a retired cop. I was like, yeah, because if we didn't tell him that, the uniform officers might treat him like shit.
Yeah.
That's the implication.
Might, like, manhandle him and be rough with him because he is, like, having a mental health crisis.
It's like, come on, that sucks. I just noticed, I didn't realize this till now, him and Sipowicz have the same hairstyle and mustache decisions.
Doesn't he look a lot like, you can bleep this name out if you need to, and I'm gonna give it a gap, but doesn't he look a lot like...
Yep. Yes, he does.
Like if he got older and fatter and lost his hair. this looks like it lost his hair.
You just give me more to cut out. Anyway, so this guy,
because he's listening.
Well, this guy, I thought this guy was a good actor because basically, when they bring up the building, he is his like demeanor changes, and then when they bring up the family, yeah. it changes again, like very subtly.
Yeah, he gets real nervous. It's interesting.
And then another thing to bring up here, so they basically say, like, obviously you have something to do with this kid being bricked up into a building, and then they say that either you're a pedophile murderer or your son is, and my partner's going to leave the room while I beat your ass. And he then kind of admits, like, no, like, her and my son were just playing, and then she died. He didn't murder her. And then Sipowicz is like, oh, yeah, sure, you're covering up for him. And he's like, no, that's what happened. You could beat me. That's my thing. Did they establish that she was raped? How?
I don't remember them establishing it or knowing that she was raped because she's a skeleton.
Yeah.
So you check that out?
Did they just assume it?
I think so.
Because, like, this is another one of those situations where it's like, well, they're the good guys, so we just accept what they say.
But you also have to, but like, no, that's true. You are right. Like, I was about to say, like, why else would you hide what you, like, the dead little girl? But, like, they could have accidentally done something, like, to get that where she died that didn't involve her being raped or, like, sexually assaulted. So they could have stuffed her in the wall and only, like, just killed her because they were mad at her dad or something. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have to be rape. But they did just, I feel like, jump to conclusions and assume it was rape.
Like, we'll talk about it again when they bring in the son of that contractor. Right now, Medavoy is walking this dude back into a police station to be like, by the way, you're also going to prison for accessory to murder. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? And then Baldwin comes out of the bathroom to scare him, which is, you know, just a little hilarious. Hoke and poke.
We lied.
we deceived you.
We lied, and now you're losing. Now you're losing a lot of your life. Isn't that funny?
Well, their whole point is that he. But is it really aiding and abetting? Like, even though I guess he did know why he was holding the gun, so he did. Yeah, the dude is a criminal and kind of a piece of shit because he could have just been honest about what happened.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think it would have been better for him if he was just honest about it.
So, we're going to talk about that important thing. But do you know who this guy is, Kyle?
Yeah. No, I know he's been in stuff. I just can't.
Well,
was he in a commercial that was super popular?
Well, Kyle, his name is Rich Hutchman.
Uh-huh.
And he's been a character actor on some stuff, Mad Men, you know, random shows throughout all this time. But I immediately knew this man because he's also the theater manager in the movie Phantom of the Megaplex, a Disney Channel original movie that I watched about 800 times when I was a child.
I don't know. Okay, like, that. So you saying that name rings a, like, it like, evokes like a memory in my head, but I can't put like a picture to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when you said like you like to watch Meet the Deedles, like it didn't make me feel good inside.
Like, it's not a good movie.
I know this is a Disney. Yeah, neither is Meet the Deedles, Kirk.
No, well we could disagree.
You know what? I forgot. I'm a little annoyed. I made a Meet the Deedles fucking playlist for you, and you didn't even thank me.
Well, I can't listen to it, Kyle.
Why not?
Because you gave it to me on Apple Music, and I use Spotify.
Oh, because get Apple like a grown-up then.
Apple sometimes doesn't have the full albums of bands I like. That's why I stopped using it. Also, we're not even talking about this pretty solid interview where.
Yeah, that's true. No, this guy does a really good job playing. Are we to assume that he has some mental issues?
Kinda. It seems like he does.
And then Danny.
Yeah.
And then Danny just physically assaults him.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to bring up again, because we say that we mentioned that they go like, oh, so you're a murderer, so your dad's a murdering pedophile unless you did it, and he's covering up for you. And then the guy's like, what tips Ricky Schroeder Sorensen off is the guy says
we're only going to refer to him as Ricky Schroeder.
It was only an accident. This part is interesting too, where he's like, could you watch this guy? He's a little shaken up. And the guy's like, do you want to keep him that way? And it was like, what the fuck? Like, is this guy going to go in there and just beat his ass too? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He'd probably go in and start like yelling at him and scaring him and shit. And be like, oh, you fucked up. Like, I heard out there that like, you done fucked up big time, blah, 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 you know, shit like that.
But like the thought is this. So obviously, if you murder a girl and then hide the body to cover up your crime, not cool. I'm not advocating for these gentlemen, right? But let's say for the sake,
I'm glad you're drawing a hard line on that.
let's say you were working on this house because they were paid to destroy a like shed. You were destroying a shed. The girl's playing, like, she kind of has a relationship with the younger contractor. They make jokes, whatever. Like, it's not inappropriate at all, but the girl's playing around, and the guy's like, hey, you know, be careful, don't get too close to our work. They do something, and, like, it lands on the girl, and she dies. And the parents aren't home, yeah. Or the parents aren't around. And, like, let's say the dad and the son freak out and they're like, I got an idea. We'll put her up in this building. We have a wall that's going up, blah, blah, blah. And they cook up this plan. Imagine 9 years later. That's a horrible thing, and they obviously should be punished. But imagine years later, you're in an interrogation room, and then they're like, you raped and murdered this girl. And you're like, I did not do that. It was an accident.
But you may say you did because of the guilt that you've been living with about this girl. At this point, you just might be like, yeah, I did it. Just to, like...
But, yeah, it's
crazy.
It's just a crazy thing, because at no point did they mention, like, oh, it's pretty clear that they raped the girl. They just say that, and then both...
It's a skeleton.
And then both guys, both suspects were like, we didn't... That's not happening. And there is some subtext that maybe he's just protecting his son and all that, but it's still fucked up.
Was there semen on the dress? And I mean that, like...
I don't know.
Not to be gross, but, like, was that something that maybe, like, it was a little, like, tidbit that we missed, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll be like, what's the ME report? Or what did we get back? And they'll be like, oh, there was this and this on the dress. Or, like, oh, they found traces of semen, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing in those boxes.
So yeah, this is the silent scene where they pick up the guy. I also wanted to mention that Sorensen comes out of the bathroom after Sipowicz tries to ask him what the hell's going on because he almost murdered a dude. But he comes out and talks to Russell instead, and then they make a blockbuster joke. You want to hear another blockbuster joke? That Netflix show was canceled after one season because it sucks. Watched about 1.5 episodes and was like, well, this is trash. It'll be gone pretty damn quick. That's it.
But yeah, that's where we're at. But that's where we're at though in life. Like, we have too many options to watch things on. So mediocre and shitty things, more and more shitty things are going to get made. And you're going to end up with things that only last like a season.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that was happening on regular television.
I don't know his name, but that is it Randall, whatever, Randall Park?
Yes.
That dude, I mean, he got fresh off the boat. That did well for a while, but can't get, like, keep that show going.
That blockbuster show was just very ill-conceived. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, but right now it's like a bro town. It's a bro down time. Because Sipowicz is like, how come I can ask you about banging fugly women, maybe, and you can't tell me what's wrong?
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh. Yeah, this is weird.
And he's like, I don't know what to say, man. And then he's like, I've been having nightmares. And then Sipowicz immediately demeans him by being like, yeah, nightmares are scary. And then they do this thing. They do this sit on the bench, which is to me the equivalent of Fast and Furious when The Rock and Vin Diesel had a conversation standing like this.
Yeah.
I was like, you could face each other.
This was definitely like an artistic, choice by the director of this episode.
Have them face opposite directions, talk to each other like this on the same bench.
Yeah, they can't look at each other when they're talking like men.
Well, it's also like this was another thing because we've talked about it before. How like it seems like the stepping stones to making Sorensen as an interesting character are there because he's explaining why he has like anxiety because when he was young he went through a pretty traumatic experience. The problem is, as soon as he gets done explaining that and then starts talking, you're like, I'm not interested in you as a character.
How, I mean, for fuck's sake. How long have we, has he been around? Like, right, he's been around at least almost two seasons now. And, like, they always mention his fucking paperclip thing, but they don't, they've never explained it.
Well, it's just like an anxious tick that they're like, oh, it's just something weird he does, and he's got some demons, and it's like, okay, but like, if you put that on an interesting character, because Sipowicz has the same thing, he has his psychological and emotional problems, but he's also an interesting character to watch, so like, it keeps you invested. Danny, it's just like, okay, yeah, you have these things. That's interesting, but you aren't.
No, but the other thing also is, like, with Sipowicz, right? The reason his stupid frog, right? Like, you know about his frog. You know why it bothers him. You know that it's important to him. Like, and they kind of, like, go into why these things are important to him. Mm-hmm. But with Danny, it's like he's putting the paperclips in his paperclips in a little pocket and shit. And it's like they just make fun of it, or they're like, they bring it up and show it, but then they don't like dive into it and like make it like advance his story or like who he is.
And right now, like this, yeah, like this scene right here. Because we have all this backstory with Russell, we understand, like, oh, the whole thing with Bobby, the whole thing with AA, her saying, because she basically says to him, like, you're the first friend/coworker since Bobby died, and because of that, like, it's more intense, but that also means you're more precious to me. And he responds with, like, oh, well, you're precious to me, too. And he's like, one thing that I do have is good friends, even though I'm dealing with shit. And they share this moment, and it's like, okay, that's a good moment to go out on. And then he's like, man, I'm fucking hungry. Give me this burger. like, that's literally how the episode is. They could have cut it right before this, and it'd be like a pretty good ending to an episode. But right now, they're like, no, do some shit with the burger.
And she, like, stares longingly at him while he eats that burger.
It's, like, the weirdest... It's kind of like... Because the whole episode, it's like, oh, gosh, what's happening with Danny? He's having these emotional problems. He freaks out, but then he has a support system with Andy, who offers a shoulder to lean on. And then Russell does the same thing. And at the end, it ends in this thing where he's like, I guess I have good friends. And I'm like, cool. Resolution. And they're like... Fuck, I'm hungry. Give me this fucking burger. Yeah,
gotta eat.
So weird.
Gotta eat, bro.
And then he salts that burger, too. He's like, gotta get some salt on this bad boy. We went way past the credits and whatnot. Anything else about this episode before we call it quits?
No, not really.
That's
a good episode. Meta was a bitch. the whole thing, like how he acts with the dog, is like in my opinion, ridiculous. Like,
yeah, it's a little much.
It is, like, so trash how he, like, how he is with that dog, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's, I thought it was a pretty good episode. Interesting. I think this is one of the first episodes where I was kind of into what Ricky Schroeder was doing, but
I can agree with you on that one.
Like, I was kind of
into agree on that one.
Yeah. Like, I was kind of into his acting. I was into, like, the decisions that to make him, like, he's an anxious wreck and it's coming out in weird places and he's trying to reach out, but also he doesn't know how. I was digging it, and then, like, there are just moments in it, like the burger and the Blockbuster joke and other stuff where I'm like, just it isn't connecting all the way. But pretty good.
But it's also like one of those things, like, why did it take you guys so long to, like,
to get him there?
Yeah, to, like, show him in that light, you know what I'm saying? Like, why did it take you guys so long to show him as this type of character, or show him, like, being more dimensional than what he is, you know? Like, I feel like they've wasted so much time. Like, they could have gone to this already. Like, he's been there for a while. Like,
yeah.
I don't really feel like you know much about him. Like, the only things you really had to deal with him were he had that pregnancy scare and then now this girl. That's what his things are. And then, like, his sister coming to visit.
Yeah.
He used to be a working narcotics, all that. Like, you know a little bit about him, but they don't really, like, you don't really get to know him. Like, you missed out a lot on him.
Well, like, you think about Bobby, who is kind of the, like, you know, he's the ultimate person in this role. And, like, within the first three episodes, we understood his backstory with his wife. We understood that he's really into pigeons. We understood a little bit about his background ethnically. We knew he was kind of a badass because there were moments where he like fucking he took over some rooms and was really threatening. And we knew he could be a good foil to Sipowicz really quick. Like, I would say all that stuff was within like five episodes.
Yeah.
With Sorensen, it took us until now for him to finally have an interaction with characters that didn't feel, like, off.
Yeah.
Like, there were some interactions that were like, okay, good, but it was, like, momentary, like, moment-to-moment in episodes. This is one where it seemed to be good throughout almost the whole thing, and then weird at the end or weird in jokes and whatnot. But, like, we talked about the opening to this episode. The only difference between this and the opening to, I think, last episode, or the episode before it, maybe? He wakes up from a dream, but instead of waking up his girlfriend and being like, go to sleep, do whatever you want, I don't give a shit, and being a dick about it, he actually has, like, an anxiety attack. But they did the same thing. It's weird. I mean, yeah. We could talk about it forever. It's just it's taking them too long with Sorensen.
Anyways,
that's it for
see what happens.
That's it for Who Murders Sleep. We still didn't figure out who it was. Later.
I think the answer to that is dementia.
Later, everybody. Thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. Every single episode of NYPD Blue Balls is available on AsherBrothersPodcast.com and whatever service you use for podcasts. We also have another podcast called the Asher Brothers Podcast. There haven't been new episodes recently, but that doesn't mean they're never going to come out. And there's some episodes on there that are pretty cool. Pretty cool. Anyway, if you have just a fever for more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles written about the show. And Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, which is on Amazon for 99¢. We're currently on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, and we are on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. But I'll be honest, I don't know how much longer we're going to stay on Twitter, just because it's not really great, and we don't really enjoy it there.
If you have a moment, please rate and review the show, because that's how people see us in the algorithm. And hopefully, more importantly, start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Peace!